I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine on Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ, and archived on TVTimeMachine.com. We're back again with Karen Herman and Jenny Matz of the Archive of American Television right here on the TV Time Machine. In our next clip, William Shatner discusses his experiences performing on live TV dramas in the 1950s and his unique relationship with the camera.
The camera was very large, had a lot of hot tubes in it, and they had a fan in it. And the fan was as low noise, as minimal noise as possible. So it made a little whirring sound as it cooled the innards of the camera. For all that you might know, it was breathing. And there was this warm camera. And there was somebody behind it, but he was kind of hidden behind this massive thing. So the thing kind of moved. So I thought of the camera as alive. It was like if you stood beside it to make an entrance, the thing kind of purred at you. And it never frightened me. I always loved that camera. I loved the little camera. And you could pet it. You could savor it.
Now, how long was that interview with William Shatner?
Well, the first part was about 2.5 hours, and that was done many years ago. And then we recently went back to him in 2009, I believe, and followed up with him. So, and that was another hour, hour and a half. So altogether, it's probably about 4 or 5 hours.
What kind of topics did you cover? Obviously, you know, everyone wants to hear him talk about Star Trek, but he's talked about that a lot. What other pieces of his work did you cover?
Oh, we really covered The Twilight Zone. He was in two of the most classic episodes of that, so that was very, very important for us. And then we covered a lot of the other things that he'd done subsequently. This was before Boston Legal re-energized his career, and that's when we came back during his Boston Legal time and sat down with him and talked about that, how things had changed. We also talked about, in the first one, we talked about T.J. Hooker as well, and Alfred Hitchcock Presents, a bunch of other things that he'd been in. But for the most part, that first part was about Star Trek.
But I think what he was talking about in that quote you played was his very early days in the 50s on Studio One and Playhouse 90, the live anthology series, when they had those giant cameras that they did look like they were
they were alive
coming at you. But that's, I think, what he was talking about were the early television cameras.
Yeah, and no one has ever described them that way. I think he's the only one that can get away with
it. That's true. Well, he's very colorful. Now, in the case of William Shatner and other TV legends, you know, they've pretty much been asked everything over the course of their careers. So do you try and come up with unique questions or topics that perhaps they haven't heard or covered before?
Well, we don't try. I mean, you know, we're trying to get their story. So we don't necessarily try to come up with something that they've never heard before. But oftentimes, because we're spending so much time with them, there are things that they haven't heard before. And normally, a lot of that is about their earlier years. But we don't try to stump them. We don't try to elicit something, you know, philosophical that just for the sake of eliciting it. It really what we want to do is let them tell their story in their own words and, you know, give their insights the way that they would, you know, in very natural circumstances.
I do remember, though, when we interviewed Nancy Cartwright, who's the voice of Bart Simpson on The Simpsons and many of the other voices, we did ask her a couple of questions she said had never been asked before.
Very good.
Like about the audition when she first went in and was going to read for Lisa and then switched it. And I think the first question we asked that she said no one had asked her before was Matt Groening looking at you when you were doing the voice, or was he just listening? And, you know, because it's kind of jarring when you find out it's a woman doing the voice.
Right.
And so I was just curious if it played any, you know, would have been a stumbling block to her getting the role or anything. She said, oh, no one's ever, I don't know. but sometimes that happens, that you just keep digging because we do have them for such a long period of time, and you're able to continue on a subject that you can sense that they're interested in talking more about and hasn't been covered before. And sometimes it's just a happy accident.
Well, speaking of digging, I really dug the interview with George Carlin as we'll hear in the following clip.
I began with a dream of being Danny Kaye, which is a very mainstream dream. It's very middle America. It's a people pleaser job. And I dreamed a path that was traditional. Disc jockey, comedian, actor, big success. A mainstream dream. Meanwhile, what I really was an outlaw and a rebel because I had lived that kind of life. I got kicked out of 3 different schools. I got kicked out of the Air Force. I got kicked out of the choir. I got kicked out of the altar boys. I got kicked out of summer camp. I got kicked out of the Boy Scouts. And I quit school at 9th grade. I had great marks. I was a smart kid, but I didn't care. And I was that kind of person. I was one who swam against the tide of what is expected and what the establishment wants from us.
Jenny, what was that experience like for you?
Unbelievable. I still get chills when I hear it. I've heard interviews with Carlin before, and I tried to watch every single one before that interview took place just so I wouldn't repeat a lot of things because he's been so heavily documented. But he was really revealing things in that interview that I hadn't heard before, and specifically about that, as I mentioned earlier, his morphing into a totally different kind of performer, and it happened on television. It happened on The Sullivan Show, and his transformation took place in front of America, and he did get some slack for it, and he did talk about that, and he said, "Look, this is, if they don't like me anymore, they think that I'm a sellout. That's not what was happening. I was just being true. I was finding myself and finding my voice, and it's clear when you listen to him talk about what was happening in his personal life that he really was a rebel and he really was more fit to the comedian he became later.
And that is our most popular interview by far.
Yeah.
In the collection.
Yeah. And I think partly to do because it's one of the final interviews he gave before he passed away. And he just doesn't sound like someone who's ready to go. He is still learning and growing, and he was writing for the last HBO special that he did tape when we did that interview, and he almost was testing material for us, which was really cool. And he did revisit some of the earliest bits he did through some of the better known. He went through 7 Dirty Words and the whole genesis of that. He talked about hosting the first Saturday Night Live, which he doesn't talk about very often, and really covered everything. And I couldn't have asked him to sit for another 5 minutes. I mean, it was almost over 3 hours, that interview, and it was every second was amazing to sit and be a witness to.
What was he like? How did he strike you?
He is just exuding intelligence. Sensitivity. He was much calmer than I thought he would be. If you watch him, and I'd watched his stand-up for years, and he's just so energetic, but he was much more sedate in person, and he got passionate about things, but he was always very thoughtful and calm. And you could just tell the mechanisms in his brain were going all the time.
Karen, on a personal level, how do you feel being around these legends, being involved in the interview process? Do you ever get starstruck? And if so, does that ever really go away?
I guess I feel honored more than anything. I mean, it really is. I mean, to have a front seat at hearing these people's stories firsthand is an honor. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. I wouldn't say stage struck is the word I would use, but just knowing who these people are and what they contributed, just really, it's an incredible, incredible experience. Mm-hmm. I remember the first time I felt that, and I'll go back to the beginning of this interview when I was saying one of my favorite shows growing up, Brady Bunch and reruns, walking into Sherwood Schwartz's house, the creator of this of this series, was pretty, that was kind of an awestruck moment. But it was still an honor, and I still feel that way today. Whoever we're putting in that interview seat, it's just an honor to be producing it. I'm hoping that I'm giving them the best opportunity to tell their stories.
Now, sometimes the Archive interviews a TV legend who doesn't even portray a real person, as we'll hear in this clip.
Doe happened because it was, when we were doing the 1 minute, it was annoyed grunt. And I asked Matt, what's an annoyed grunt? And he goes, whatever you want. And I had remembered from the Laurel and Hardy movies I watched on television as a kid, Jim Finlayson, who was the Scottish comedian, who was a foil to Laurel and Hardy. And he would always go, Doe, which I've subsequently discovered believed to be the reason he said that was he was trying to say damn, but you couldn't say damn in those. So it was like he would say, Doe, because he couldn't say damn, you know. So I did a sort of Doe like that. And Matt said, you know, we only got a minute, so you have to kind of make that faster. So I went, Doe, and that's how Doe came about.
So I think our audience can figure out who that was. Mm-hmm. Jenny?
That was Dan Castellaneta, and he is the voice of Homer Simpson, Krusty the Clown, and a whole host of your favorite characters.
Now, I assume you were looking forward to that interview.
Oh, you know I was. I had so many friends who were writing me the night before, just so jealous that I was going to get to meet him. But, you know, like Karen, I mean, we've done a lot of these before. These are incredibly talented people that it is always an honor to meet and be around. But I also would say it's not starstruck. It's just we're so psyched that they're giving us a couple hours of their time to talk about something we can geek out on with them. And that was just the funnest story to hear how Doe came about, because it's still written in the script for The Simpsons as Annoyed Grunt to this day, and what he did with it is obviously just classic.
Had he revealed that before? Because I wasn't familiar with that anecdote.
I don't know. I know that, you know, there's a Simpsons episode called Annoyed Grunt in parens, which is sort of a joke about that, I guess an inside joke. But no, I don't think, I do think he had said it somewhere before, maybe in writing, but I hadn't heard him say it before. And then he went on in the interview to do every iteration of Doe, which is made my day. It was hard for me to hold back. and, you know, because he does it a million different ways in one. And I had actually grown up watching The Tracy Ullman Show. Was one of my late-night sneaking away to stay up and watch that. And so I knew who he was as an actor as well as a voiceover actor. And so it was a real treat to meet him and could not be nicer. I mean, oh, a mensch. Just an adorable man and just real sweet. And, again, just a total pleasure to have that talk with him.
Karen, what are some of the projects that the Archive is working on at this time? Anything that you can reveal?
You mean other than continuing to interview, do these interviews?
Right. Just things. Do you do anything, or are you doing anything that is expanded beyond the interviews?
Well, currently? We have our Archive of American Television Presents DVD series, mm-hmm. where we're putting out with E1 Entertainment some of the lost classics of earlier times. We did Studio One. We have Anything Goes out right now. So those are kind of fun. We're part of that. We're also we launched our Conway Corman interview on DVD as well. So we're doing a little bit more with DVDs. But again, our main focus is to continue the interviews and also continue to build the website.
Is there any way that folks out there can support or contribute to the Archive of American Television?
Oh, I think that can be arranged.
Yes.
Okay. What's the best and easiest way to do that?
I would say the best way is to go to, you can go to from our site, metvlegends.org, and click on, at the very top of the page, program of the Television Academy Foundation. We are part of a 501(c) nonprofit institution, and you can actually make a donation online. You can send us a check. you know, if there's anyone out there who is really interested in the program and finding out how they could help more, Karen and I could give out our email addresses, and I'm sure that if they reached out to us, we could.
Absolutely, go ahead.
Yeah, actually, why don't we just give out the general archive, okay. archive at emmys.org.
That will reach both of us.
That'll, yeah.
All right.
And that's Emmys is EMMYS, like the Emmy Awards, and .org.
Finally, although your organization deals with the past, What does the future hold for the Archive of American Television?
Well, hopefully more interviews. I mean, we're just about to hit 700, and, you know, new television pioneers are minted every day.
So, that's true.
You know, I'm hoping this will go on way past us, and that no matter what form television takes, you know, whether it's all, you know, broadband or whatever, that we're continuing to really get the storytellers to the nation. I think it's really important, and I think we've also shown that our methodology is sound, and that we can continue to do these projects as well as get the materials out even in more effective ways in the future as well.
Well, Karen and Jenny, it's been a tremendous pleasure having you aboard the TV Time Machine. Feel free to join us again in the future or in the past.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is Jim Benson. Join us again next time as our magical transport takes us on yet another journey exploring television's past, present, and future. You'll find your next adventure right here on the TV Time Machine.